7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Do be aware that later on today we are expecting some potentially severe weather. We're a 3 out of 5 scale. So I'd like to always remind people, in 2016, we were a 2 out of 5 scale for both tornadoes. So don't write it off as a nothing. Pay attention and be safe when the storms are coming. And, you know, always have your plan and pay attention, all that stuff. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, who is in D.C. So D.C.'s in D.C. again. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, working hard up here, trying to do what we can to advocate for Pensacola.
What brings you to D.C. this time?
Well, really, it's twofold. I mean, one, obviously, is to continue to build relationships, still a new administration, and we want to make sure that we're active in Tallahassee and active in Washington about what the needs of the city are. And I guess from a more timely, topical standpoint, our kind of number one thing we're laying out, we were here all day yesterday, we'll be here until tonight, is getting ready for potential construction of the new airport terminal. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we really see the funding source really kind of being a third, a third, a third, which is a third federal, a third from the state, and the city bonding a third of the airport. So, you know, this is one of those things where I'm very grateful. It was an early priority to have design completed, and that we got the funding from FDOT, thankfully, right in the first couple months of the administration. But we don't want to get in our situation again where we got a design, it comes off the printer, and we've got no money, and we haven't started anywhere. So the work begins now to make sure that the second that design comes off the printer, or as close as possible, we could be rolling right into construction. So so it's a little bit of early planning, but it's necessary if we want to be able to, you know, as you know, we're bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
I mentioned in our press conference, it's crazy to think we have 11 gates 10 years ago, and we have 11 gates today, same exact size, except we have 1 million more passengers, 1 million annually. So it's time. And so I don't want there to be any more lag than there's already been in terms of trying to get the design funded.
Do you think you're going to be able to get an additional parking structure also as part of this, or is that going to be on us to build? Because I know you and I talked about this last week, that just randomly on a Tuesday in June, all of a sudden you've got the overflow lot halfway filled.
Yeah, well, look, you know, first of all, we're trying to get some funding for some of the surface parking already that's not waiting on, you know, potential new construction. So
okay.
we're as proactive as we can be on that respect. What you would see, we met with FAA staff at their office yesterday, and we explained that we have a couple things that we had filed potential grants in January. They were the law sustainability, I guess, credit or points towards some of these grant applications. So a couple things we put in, for example, was a huge solar canopy that goes over one of the surface lots that could actually produce about 20% of the power that we use at the airport. So perfect, you know, we get shade, it's better parking, it's better for the citizens' vehicles, as well as being able to offset some costs with solar. So that's another, you know, it's about a $4 million-ish ask. And then we've got some other things, some HVAC and whatnot. But look, I think it's about a $70 million terminal, what we're looking at. And so that's not something that gets funded overnight.
Right.
So that's why we're here. We want to be anticipatory for 2025, early 2025, and try to be ready to go.
I'm gonna suggest something that probably isn't useful, but just in case on the off chance it is, here goes. Our area is looking at as many as 4 parking structures by my count. Community Maritime Park, out on the beach, at the airport, and then there's kind of the on-again, off-again one down at Plaza de Luna on the east side there towards the ferry terminal. I don't know what opportunity mm-hmm. there might be to get them budgeted or done as like a package deal from a company. But anyway, that was just the one thought, is maybe nobody had ever connected that. And, you know, in case that winds up being useful at some point, that was my one thought I just wanted to share. We're talking to Mayor D.C.
Go ahead. Look, Andrew, I was going to say, hey, $18,000 a space is what it used to cost for structured parking.
Right.
4 years ago. It's $34,000 now. So that, I mean, that's the other thing, is this is starting to have a real financial consequence, not only for a city, but for private development. And,
right.
And so I think synergy is even more valuable now, to your point, than it was 5 years ago.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You had a couple of very interesting proposals on the table. One is to put $3.5 million from the Escambia Children's Trust into a purchase and renovation of the Lakeview, Lifeview, Morris ED Activity Center, to devote it specifically to children, like some other places around the state with their children's trust money have done, right?
That's right. Yeah, I feel really excited about this. Obviously, this has got to go to the trust. It's got to be approved. We understand that process. But we put a lot of legwork in thought and energy into both at the city with Community Health as one of our partners, where they would have a pediatric clinic within this facility, as well as LifeView. This is not something they have to do. This was something that we approached them on. And as well as the Children's Trust certainly being partners in Escambia County. It's right. We really believe that geographically it's put in a great place, both at for the city and for the county.
Right next to Addicts Court, for people who aren't familiar. It's ideally demographic for the kinds of things the Children's Trust is supposed to be doing. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, and you look at all the, you know, census tracts and where the underserved community is, where people lack access to a car, and why would you, at its most simplistic scale, why would you want a facility like this? You want the ability, if a kid has an after-school program or a before-school program, they can get their checkup, their family can be part of that, and it truly becomes the wraparound that we talk about in so many other sectors. It's the wraparound service of saying, hey, we have this kid or this family who doesn't have access to a vehicle. Instead of hoping they come to us, we're trying to come to them, you know, and this is what that effort is. So this money would be to acquire the building from LifeView. The city would operate the facility, would own it. And we bring a lot to the table in terms of we've got the funnel of youth programs. You know, we can jump right in. It's got a gymnasium. So I really, really feel good about what we're putting forward. There's certainly significant dollars in the trust right now, and again, this is not unprecedented. That this is something that trusts have funded before in the state of Florida. So we'll cross our fingers. But if it's approved or it's not approved, what I know is we certainly have put our best foot forward, and we've given this a lot of thought, and we've had a lot of important community partners be part of this.
And I certainly like the idea.
Really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, and I certainly like the idea of taking the lessons learned and the successes had at C.A. Weiss, the community school, and taking those same concepts, just using them in a place that doesn't happen to be a school. I think it's a very, very interesting proposal. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. D.C., hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
And the good news is we're not showing any slowdowns or delays, really. There's an accident in J, but it looks like it has been moved off to the side. If you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Another proposal you've got out is to buy the Pensacola Motor Lodge and turn that into basically affordable housing, right, to renovate. This is not going to be cheap. I understand it's not in the greatest of conditions.
Exactly. Look, this is about $1 million investment into affordable housing. And, I've said over the months, whether it be different initiatives, is that we say in affordable housing, you have to be nimble. We have to be able to be proactive, which we have been. We called about several different hotels that could be multi-unit affordable housing that see if we could get online. And this is one that came through first. We'll continue to do that and look for those opportunities. But at the end of the day, 30 units that regardless of the state that they're in, is about $33,000 a unit. You can't build anything anywhere close to that, maybe even the studs for that.
Yeah, even tiny homes are more than that, right?
Correct. So we're going to get in there, and we got 90 days of due diligence. We're going to get in there and see what kind of condition. Obviously, if there's something that makes this not be able to work, we'll adjust from there. But the vote was to make sure that we were authorized to have the funds. We've agreed on price. There's been some communication back and forth from the seller about length of due diligence and, when money goes non-refundable and some things like that. But we should be able to work through all of that. And my hope is the city's not trying to get into the landlord business. That's not what we want to do. What we want to do is let's take a place that has 30 units and let's find an operator who does this for a living and a nonprofit. And there's plenty of these all over the country that do exactly this, not just that they go rehab units, that they rehab hotels. And let's find, they'll know certainly a lot more about the insights and how it could be best used better than I will. And so we'll listen to what those proposals are, and we're willing to put the property up partially, totally, based on what they're going to provide to the city and provide to our community. So I think we're open-minded about the type of affordable housing. I've gotten that question a lot. Is it going to be homeless transitional? Yeah. Is it going to be 30% AMI? I think we're going to let the folks who know this well look at what we have in front of us and dictate from there. So
that makes sense.
But regardless, it not only is it the win here, but also from a public safety standpoint. This has been a property with 2,100 service calls the last 10 years. I believe we've had 13 violent crimes the last 26 months. So there's value built into the fact of just getting this acquired and decreasing the labor and the ability for our police department to be working other situations and keeping people safe.
I mean, all of that. I think that all makes good sense.
Yeah.
And one thing,
just to see what happens.
It's a smaller note, but I just want to make sure we make it because I don't ever get to say these words. The railroad company said yes to something. the expansion of the Bayou Tahar boardwalk. They've agreed to this, right?
Yeah, I had to read it twice myself. A new acquisition by Rail USA, a guy named Ryan Ratledge, and this is, again, why you try. It's why you're in Washington, D.C. You try to stay busy and stay active building relationships. This is solely out of the discussions and meetings with Rail USA about Amtrak, where the ownership of their rail starts just west of the current, the city's train station.
Right? Okay.
It's obviously not being used that way. They own it from there all the way east to Jacksonville. So they acquired it, and we started to have conversations about partnering together on Amtrak. And it's one of those things came across, I give Brad and Public Works a lot of credit. They're like, hey, if you're starting to build a good positive relationship with them, this came up 5 years ago. You know, are you willing to run this to see what they say? And that's what we did. So being resourceful about something that died on the vine about 4 or 5 years ago because of difficulties with the previous owner. And, so Ryan, the CEO, gave him a ton of credit, said, hey, if it's good for the community, we'll look at it. They did. And their team got with our team. And so the big hurdle is now complete. That's okay with us going ahead and moving forward. So the timeline will be, we're looking at a holistic approach for Wayside. We've got a seawall to fix. We've got parking lot post 3 mile bridge construction to fix. So we're trying to not piecemeal that too much in terms of trying to be synergistic saving costs. But nonetheless, that is huge for us. If you've ever been down there, I mean, there are families, bikes, that are going out under the graffiti bridge. That's the only way to
get through. It's a terribly unsafe scenario. You're exactly right.
No question. So, I mean, you think about how many homes in the city, East Pensacola Heights, East Hill, all these neighborhoods with tons of families, tons of people living, that is the most efficient way to get down to the waterfront. And that's just not good enough.
No, it's not. And connectivity is going to be great. Now, kudos to you. I mean, that's a huge, just to be able to say we built a relationship and got a yes out of the railroad. That's fantastic. The lightning round we always like to end with. First question for you is, when you go into a store, do you like or dislike having somebody say, hi, can I help you?
I actually like it. Go ahead and get it out of the way so you don't scare me, whenever I'm in aisle two, right behind my shoulder.
So, all right. Yeah. Second question, like Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak is retiring. Would you consider the job?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. There's a lot of disingenuous host type attitude you have to have. I don't know.
Always smile and nod and don't say anything insulting, right? That's the job.
Right. But you do that now.
He does. That's the job of a diplomat, right? All right, last one. This is going to be our frivolous.
I'm genuinely always like that.
There you go. That's right.
I mean, he's like that now.
Okay, last one. This is going to be our frivolous topic for the day later. What was the first movie you watched that was like kind of, the R adult, had some content in it that you can remember? What was DC's first that movie?
Vividly remember this. My stepbrother was 8 years older, and my dad somehow, I must have been 10 or 11, it brought me to see White Men Can't Jump. I remember this in the movie theater. Absolutely. Wow.
All right.
I was definitely too young to see that movie. I don't remember. Maybe I was 10 or 11. My stepbrother was 19. He was more of the age that would enjoy that movie. But I remember watching this, and I was like, there's no way my dad wanted me to see this movie. There's no way.
Two points for Rosie Perez.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow, you really got something there, right? All right, very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, have a productive rest of your trip in Washington, D.C., and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. As always, thank you for the time, sir.
All right, Candy Andy, thank you so much.
Oh, that's